Well, good morning. God is good. And all the time. How many of you got an extra hour of sleep last night? Yeah, amen. There's several that are probably still sleeping right now because their clocks are messed up. I know some of you came early and wondered where everybody was. I told you that I was going to let Brother Randy preach those that came early, and they all left and came back. But anyways, I'm so glad that you're all here today, and personally, I'm glad I got an extra hour of sleep last night. I know that this time change is hard for all of us, but praise God for the extra hour. We have a few announcements for you. Women's Ministry is hosting an event, Be a Blessing, to support the ladies of Home of Grace in Pasco. The Women's Ministry is collecting donations in the lobby and assembling blessing bags on November 17th at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. A list of requested items are at the table in the lobby, and ladies may also sign up if they'd like to be a part of this event on November 17th. And also, donations may be dropped off at the church office or brought the night of the event. So it's a wonderful opportunity for you all to get together to have this time on November 17th. Also, Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes are going on, and you can pack those and bring them back by November 12th. A lot of people asked me, they said, David, where do we put these boxes? And I told them to go put them at the go table. So if you have a box today that you haven't turned in that you want to turn in, you can take that to the go table. Also, Tuesday night is Trees for Hope. This is for the Alabama Baptist Children's Home. They're raising support. And so Tuesday night from 6 to 8 o'clock at Dauphin Way Baptist Church. We actually have a few tickets available. If you are interested, you can see Brother Randy if you would like to go. Several of our life groups have put together trees and wreaths that will be auctioned off there. Thank you so much. I've heard great testimony of the fellowship and friendship that you got to spend together as you put those wreaths and trees together. I do also want to share one more thing before we begin. Many of you have been kind of just asking about the land as we, you know, we've purchased the 14 and a half acres over here, and we're hoping to bring a master plan in the months to come. There's been several permitting things and different stuff because we were annexed into the city, and so dealing with all of those things, and then also praying through and seeking out what the Lord is leading us as a master plan before we bring that to you for you to see. What I do want you to know, though, is that we have determined through multiple people, multiple construction type people who have recognized that the barn that's on the property is going to be way, way, way more expensive to rehab with termites and other things than it would be just to take it down and then put something back up. And so because of that, you will be seeing in days to come the barn slowly coming down. I just want y'all to be aware of that. It was due to the fact that there's no foundation except for in the middle. There's a lot of things that would have to be done to solidify that. So I do want you to know that that will be going on. And then also, many of you know that for 6 months we had a interest only, and then our loan will kind of come to a, we'll have a finalized loan, and that's coming up in November, the middle of November. So remember, anything that's been given since we started this campaign will go to put down before we go to a finalized loan. So I want to thank you. I think that we've seen about $350,000, $400,000 come in this year alone for Joshua. And so I just praise God for that. And so I just wanted you to be aware of kind of where we are, what's going on. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin today. Father, you are so good, and we praise your holy name. And Father, I pray today that as we come into this place, that we would have hearts that are pure before you. Not because of something that we can do, but because of the blood of Jesus that has been shed for us. Father, I pray that we would have clean hands as we ascend the hill of the Lord this morning. And Father, as we open up the book of Proverbs again, it's so practical. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to each of us as we walk through this incredible book that you have given us. Now, Father, we want your name to be lifted high and glorified as we worship you in spirit and in truth. For it's in your precious and holy name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're so glad that you chose to worship with us today. If you're a guest with us, we'd love for you to fill out the card that's in the seat back pocket right in front of you. After you get that filled out, you can turn that into one of the three boxes at the back of the room, and then we'll be able to get in touch with you and give you a little bit more information about Luke 4:18 Fellowship. We're so glad that you're here today. Why don't we stand together and welcome someone around you to Luke 4:18 Fellowship today. Come all you weary.
Come all you weary. Come all you thirsty. Come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water. Come and thirst no more.
Come all you sinners.
Come all you sinners. Come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for.
For God
so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Power of hell, forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms.
For
God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever.
The power of him.
The power of God so loved the world, loved the world. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Sing that today.
Praise him, for the wonders of his love. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonders of his love.
Love is love.
For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever.
The power of hell.
The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom for God. God so loved the world, and God so loved the world, God so loved, God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms.
today. He's come to save us. Hey, guys, we're having some trouble with feedback this morning, okay? But I don't want it to distract you from the fact that when we trust in Jesus, we not only get a new life in Him, but we have a life that we can walk alongside Him and let Him lead us and guide us. That's greater than our sin. That's greater than our past. I know that you've done things that have not honored God, but when we enter into a saving relationship with Him, He washes us white as snow. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. That is an amazing grace that is given to us. Let's sing together.
Sometimes I'm strong, sometimes I'm weak, sometimes I fall in my wandering, but through it all, there's just one thing more precious than the air I breathe. Grace, amazing grace, unfailing grace that saves my soul.
Graces, we had nothing to do with it, that it was given to us freely. And that same dependence that we needed at salvation, we continue to have that. We continue to have to submit under that authority of Christ each and every day. And He leads us and guides us and sanctifies us in that way. Let's sing that. That's the chorus of this next song. Oh God, I need you. I need you, Lord. Let's sing together.
I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me.
Lord, we pray that we would grow in you every day and recognize our need together.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. I'm calling on the vapor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not same God, you are the same God. You answer prayers back then, and you will answer now.
Amen.
You are the same God. You are the same God. You were providing then. You are providing now. You are the same.
Sing it if you believe it. You moved in power.
You moved in power then. God, move in power now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were a healer then. You are a healer now. You are the same. Same God, you are the same God. You touch the lepers then. I feel your touch right now. You are the same God. You are the same God.
Amen. Serve the same God. Sing, I'm calling on the Holy Spirit today.
I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. Almighty River, come and fill me again. Come and fill me again. Come and fill me again.
Amen. That need for God never goes away. And in each and every story that we talked about in that song, and Moses and David and Mary, each of them had a moment where God said, I'm going to do this with you, right? But then they waited and waited and waited. Think about Abraham. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And then he waits 100 years, right? He waits and he waits and he waits and he waits. And he finally has one son. And then what does he do? He says, okay, go sacrifice that one son that you've been waiting for, right? So it stands to reason that maybe in our life we have a moment where we don't know where God is moving us or where he's going, but we know that we can trust him. We know that he is faithful. We know that he has favor upon us if we are in Christ. And we also know this, that anything that happens in this life is not the end of our story. The end of our story is being in heaven forever with him, singing together with one voice, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So let's remember that together with this last song we have for corporate worship today. Before the throne of God above.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart.
God, we thank you so much for the assurance that we are held in the palm of your hand today.
When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me.
Amen. Behold him there.
Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die. My Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you today that we can say that we are purchased by your blood, that we can say that you are the one that came from your throne to a manger, to live a perfect life, to die the death that we needed on the cross, and then to be risen on the third day, to give us that great commission that is to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them everything that you have commanded of us, Lord. We pray that today, that even if we are in a moment where we don't know all the details, that we would say, as I walk forward, I look to Christ. Lord, we pray that you would give us confirmation after confirmation by the Holy Spirit that we are on the road that you have us to walk on, Lord. And if in any way we see that we are creating obstacles through our own sin or through relationships that should not be there, Lord, we pray that you would take those things away so that we can get back to the basics of being with you. We pray right now for our community, for Mobile, Alabama, Lord, our mission field that you have given to us locally. Thank you for the missional opportunities that we have through supporting missionaries and also through going, Lord. We pray just blessing over those endeavors, Lord. And as we go to Christmas, we pray that we would just have just remember the gospel together each and every Sunday and all throughout the week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm waiting on you, Lord, and I am hopeful. I'm waiting on you, Lord, though it is painful. But patiently I will wait. And I will move ahead, confident, taking every step in obedience. While I'm waiting, I will serve you. While I'm waiting, I will worship. While I'm on you, Lord, and I am peaceful. I'm waiting on you, Lord, though it's not easy, no, but faithfully I will wait. Yes, I will wait, and I will move ahead, bold and confident, every step in obedience. While I'm waiting, I will serve you. While I'm waiting, I will worship. While I'm waiting, I will not faint. I'll be running. Confident, taking every step in obedience. Yeah. While I'm waiting, I will serve you. While I'm waiting, I will worship. While I'm waiting, I will not fail. serve you while I'm waiting. I will worship while I'm waiting. I will serve you while I'm waiting. I will worship while I'm waiting on you, Lord.
Amen. How many of y'all know where that song came from? What movie that was in? Anybody? Fireproof. There was a couple people that I heard say that. Many of you know that Fireproof was a movie that was about a man who was not fulfilling his role in the marriage, and his wife was ready to depart. And he decided to begin to love her according to the scripture, and that song kind of is this part in the movie where he continues to do things according to the scripture, but she's just not being able to receive it. And so the song speaks of, while I'm waiting, I will serve you. Now, that song does not just simply have to deal with marriage, right? There are times in our lives that we are dealing with things that we're waiting on, and God is saying, serve me in the waiting. Or get on your knees and pray in the waiting. Continue to run the race in the waiting, for I have a perfect plan for you. But I asked Brother Aaron as he came to me this week and said, you know, we've got an opening this week for a song, and we just began to pray over that. And I said, I think that this is a good song for us for this portion of Proverbs. We've been talking about the family last week in Proverbs 24, 3 and 4, and we'll be back on that today. But I want you to hear that last week we kind of looked at the passage 3 through 4 in Proverbs 24 and talked about wisdom, talked about understanding, and talked about knowledge. And we spoke about how wisdom obviously goes back to Proverbs 3. It goes back to Proverbs 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we talked about how wisdom has a name, and that name is Jesus. And wisdom, to truly have wisdom, begins with a fear of the Lord, which is salvation, a reverence, a understanding of who God is, and a true submission to the Lordship of Christ. But then we went into this understanding. It says, and by understanding, it is established. This understanding and how we're called to teach our children by speaking and by living that out, by action. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to go off of Proverbs 24, 3 through 4, and look at the man's role, the woman's role, as we see in Scripture. Now, I'm going to be looking in the context, in some sense, of marriage. But I want you to hear that when I speak about the man, it doesn't simply have to be a husband. It doesn't simply have to be a father. It can be a single man as well that is called to live accordingly to what Proverbs is speaking. When we speak of the wife, it doesn't simply have to be a woman who has is married or a woman who has children, but it speaks to all the women. And in some sense, all of these things that we are seeing, all these principles, all this plumb line or the scripture is speaking to a born-again believer who is living by abiding, as we talked about, in Christ. I want to remind you, because this is very practical today, and if you get focused in on the practical and miss how you live that out, then you'll build legalism and you will find yourself failing at trying to accomplish this list of things. So I want to start by saying this. As we shared in the book of Ephesians, the being in Christ must always come before the doing in Christ. John 15, 5, one of my favorite verses, I share it all the time. I think that we all need to memorize it and let it be a life verse for all of us. I am the vine, Jesus says, and you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. But for apart from me, you can do nothing. And then later on, he says, not only abide in me, but abide in the word, which Christ is the word. We see that in John 1. So as we look at these practical understandings today, these ideas that we see all throughout the book of Proverbs, and we're going to go from Proverbs 3 to Proverbs 31, we're going to be all up in Proverbs today. I want you to hear that if you're not abiding in the source of life, you're not going to be able to have this come forth from your life. That's the reason why last week we started with the family saying a godly family is going to have a foundation upon the wisdom of God, a foundation upon Christ, a foundation that is built in salvation in Jesus Christ. And so when we look at that, I want you to not build legalism today, but I want you to see that, that these are areas of our life that we need to be growing in. And how do we grow? By abiding and dwelling in Christ. Now, the other thing I want you to hear is that none of us are perfect. We're all a work under construction. Last week, so many people have told me, I love the video that you showed last week because it was so relevant to our lives. If you didn't see the video, go back online and watch it. It's hilarious. It's only 3 minutes, but it truly speaks to all of us. We are all a work under construction. And so this is going to affect all of us. I want to say this. I'm going to say it multiple times in the message. The Lord put this on my heart this week. Perfection is the standard. Perfection is the standard. But growth is the goal. Perfection is the standard. Growth is the goal. Sometimes we say, well, perfection is my goal. And so if I'm not hitting perfection, then I'm failing. I'm failing. I'm failing. I'm failing. But listen, sanctification is a process of what? Growth. So perfection is the standard. Jesus is the standard. The Word of God is the standard. And growth is our goal. So my prayer today is as we walk through this, that you will see the areas of your life that you are not submitting to the Lordship of Christ in, and that you would grow in Christ. First thing I want us to look at is let's read together Proverbs 24, 3 and 4 one more time. It says, by wisdom a house is built, and understanding it is established. And by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Father, we love you. We praise you. And as we do a Bible study throughout the book of Proverbs, Lord, I pray that you would just give us wisdom and understanding. I pray that the enemy would not bring about condemnation, but that we would hear the Holy Spirit of promise as you speak to us to show us areas of our life to walk in forgiveness and repentance and to grow in you, to look more like Jesus when we leave this place than when we came in. Oh, Father, sit me on the front row and just speak today. May we have ears to hear and a heart to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing we're going to look at is the dad or the man or the father. And as we look at this, I have several things that as just scouring through the book of Proverbs that I want to share with you. The first thing is that when we are having a godly household, we're going to be men, fathers, who are desiring wisdom or who are wise. We recognize in Proverbs 3, 13 through 15, it says, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. And then here is this hymn that we've sung many times. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compare with her. Church, we're here to see today that wisdom is of more profit than silver or gold. I told you last week that what your children need more from you, dads, is your time. It's your reflection of Christ. They need you more than they need silver or gold. And when we recognize as men that we must seek Christ first, that wisdom, Jesus, is more profitable than silver or gold. Wisdom has a name, and its name is Jesus. It reminds me in the New Testament when Jesus is speaking in Mark 8, 35 through 36. He says, for what whoever wishes to save his life must lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does a man profit to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? Men, if we're going to have godly households, it's going to start with us submitting to the Lordship of Christ. It's going to begin by desiring Christ more than anything else in our life. It's going to be that we desire the profit of what we gain from Christ than the silver and gold in our life. And what do we gain from Christ? We gain salvation. We gain the sanctification of the Holy Spirit within us. The next thing that I want you to see is that a man who is walking in the way of the Lord, he finds his strength in the Lord. He finds his strength in the Lord. We see in Proverbs 24:5, a wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. The wise man finds his strength and his security in the Lord. Look at what Proverbs 3:23 through 26, I shared this on the second message of this book. It says this: then you will walk in your way securely. When you find wisdom, you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, you will sleep and will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Brother Aaron just shared as he was leading up into that last song that a wise man finds security in the Lord because he knows that nothing can happen to him that has not first gone before the throne of God. We see that in the book of Job. Why can Paul later say, for me to live as Christ, to die as gain? Because he knows that his security is not in his good works. He knows that his security is not in all that he does, but his security is in Christ and Christ alone. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Think about that for a minute. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? Because he knows all things. And so we can find security in knowing who our God is, all-powerful, King of kings, Lord of lords. And so we can trust in what he allows us to go through. And not only that he allows us to go through it, but he's with us in the midst of it. A wise man truly finds security in Christ. I'll give you a great example. Because the security also feeds off for your children. Your children feed off that security, right? If a child sees that their dad feels secure, they're going to feel secure. If you're able to say to your children, hey, the reason I'm secure is because I'm secure in Christ, they're going to start to learn that, and we feed off of that as children. When I was in Israel in 2020, we woke up one morning. A group of y'all were with me. We woke up one morning and there was a raid that happened in Syria, and there was an assassination that took place of a prominent Iranian military person. And we woke up and all of our phones were saying, are y'all okay? Are y'all okay? We were asleep. We didn't know what was going on. It happened in nighttime for us, daytime for y'all. And we woke up to all these text messages. We were like, well, we're fine. People came to me and said, are we going to go home early? I said, listen, we're good, we're good. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be okay. We're going to be fine. Well, that day was our free day. And we were walking, a group of us were walking to Jerusalem, and we walked past this building, and all of a sudden this building started alerting. In English, it said, alert, alert, seek hardened shelter. Seek hardened shelter, alert, alert, seek hardened shelter. And I said to myself, that's not good. Tim Rutledge was with us, and he said he started looking for where some good safe place was. And then our eyes caught the attention of the locals. They were just going on about their day. They were good. Everything was fine. And so I turned and looked at the group, and I said, hey guys, let's keep going. We're good. And what was happening is that they were running a test at that building with their sound and on their emergency and all this stuff. We just happened to walk past it on the day that everybody was telling us World War III was breaking out. But it was when I looked and saw the locals around me were fine, I was like, well, if the locals are fine, we're fine. And I was able to say they're secure because they know what's really happening. A wise father and even a wise mother are going to show that their security is in Christ. And when they come up with difficult situations in life, instead of worrying and fretting, they're going to show that Jesus is enough. And that's going to go very far in their children's hearts and minds. The next thing that I want you to see in the book of Proverbs is this, is that a man who, a godly father is dependent upon the Lord, is dependent upon the Lord. Proverbs 26:12 says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Now, later we'll talk about pride, and this scripture goes straight to that. But ultimately, this is saying that there's more hope for a fool than one who thinks that they can do it on their own. There's more hope for a fool who thinks that they have the ability to walk in this life without the help of Christ. I was reminded again of John 15:5. As we've shared multiple times, that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. A godly man, godly husband, a godly dad is one who recognizes that he is in desperate need of Christ for all things. He is desperately dependent upon God for salvation, and he's desperately dependent upon God for the power to live a godly life. He does not say, look at all that I'm able to do. He says, look at what God is doing in and through my life. 2 Peter 1:3 says this, seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. A wise dad, a wise father recognizes that everything he's able to do that is good is of God. People ask me all the time, they say, David, how are you doing? I say, I'm doing good. But I want you to know that everything that is good is of God and everything that's bad is of me. People say, David, great message. I say, listen, if it was good, it was God. If it was bad, it was me. Why? Because I recognize, and we must recognize, that we are desperately dependent upon God for all things. We see also in Scripture that a godly man, a godly father, forgives. Look at what it says in Proverbs 19:11. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is glory to overlook a transgression. You may say, but David, you mean to tell me that we're supposed to overlook transgressions? That's not what he's saying specifically. It doesn't mean turn a blind eye to sin. What it means is that you forgive and you don't hold the wrong against the other person. I love what Spence and Jones in 1909 commentary said this. It's a real triumph and glory for a man to forgive and take no notice of injuries offered him. It's a real triumph and glory for a man to forgive and to take no notice of injuries offered him. How often do we remember? You know, somebody says that revenge is a dish best served cold. Why? Saying that you take a long time, you wait for it, and that you share that revenge. But a true godly man recognizes that God has forgiven him of something so much greater than anything that somebody could do to him. And he offers forgiveness, not in his own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. But the commentary goes on. It says, thus, in his poor way, he imitates Almighty God. What he's saying is in his humanity, in some way, he is imitating Almighty God. Why? Because Micah 7:18 says this, who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity and passes by transgressions? Interesting. Passes over the rebellious acts. Passes over the transgressions. When we forgive, church, men, women, when we forgive, we are walking in accordance to what God has done in our life. Somebody tells me all the time, they say, David, I can't forgive because then that person will think that what they did was right. You forgiving somebody never says that what they did was right. No. But you forgiving that person removes the poison in your life that is holding you captive from what has happened. I saw a sign one time. I love church signs. Don't y'all? Some of them are great and some of them are, oh man. But I saw a sign one time that said, unforgiveness is like pouring poison for the other person and then you drinking it yourself. Church, I'm here to tell you that your children need to see you walk in humility to seek forgiveness when you've wronged a brother or a sister. But not only that, but they need to see you seek forgiveness from them when you've wronged them. You are setting an example for your children to see that you walk to them and even say, will you forgive Dad? Do you know how hard that is? It's really tough. Because you want to be the perfect father, right? You want to be the perfect mother. And there's times that we fail our kids. One of the greatest things that we do is we speak something that just doesn't make sense to them. Like they're yelling and then we yell at them to say, stop yelling. That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Right? When we do things against our children, and listen, it happens. Why? Because we're fallen. We're human. We must seek forgiveness even of them. I've already told y'all this many times. I'll say it one more time, and that is at my house, we don't say we're sorry. You ask for forgiveness, because asking for forgiveness is different than saying you're sorry. Asking for forgiveness is recognizing what you have done and humbling yourself before that person. Saying you're sorry just means, well, I'm sorry. How sorry are you? Are you real sorry? You know, you need to be sorry when there's an accident, but you need to seek forgiveness when you've offended. Matthew 5, 23 through 24, Jesus says that if you're presenting an offering at the altar, but remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and present your offering. Church, we must be men and women of forgiveness. Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, how am I to forgive you? In some sense is what he's saying. What he's ultimately saying is that you don't recognize forgiveness if you can't forgive others. You don't recognize what's truly happened in your life, what I have done for you, if you're not willing to forgive others. There's nothing that a human being can do to you that would be greater or need a greater forgiveness than the forgiveness that Jesus offered you by going to the cross. So not only does a father need to be wise, not only does he find his strength in the Lord, not only is he dependent on the Lord, not only does he seek forgiveness, but a father is also to be accountable. Accountable. A passage many of you know, Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. We're called, church, to confess our sins to one another. We're called to walk alongside one another. This requires vulnerability, and this requires discipline. Let me explain to you why. Vulnerability for you to share. People say, David, I'm scared to share because somebody may say something. Well, that's on them. And it breaks my heart that that would be the case. Because the reality of it is that we don't ever need to share anything that somebody shares with us unless it's going to help our brother or our sister that has shared. There's no reason for us to go share with, oh, I got a prayer request. I don't know, sometimes we say prayer request because we want people to know what we know, but that's the way we get around gossip, right? Church, we will never see accountability as iron sharpens iron if we don't feel free to be vulnerable with one another. But that also requires discipline. And what that discipline means is that we follow up with each other. Have you ever said you'd keep somebody accountable, but then never ask them, never talk to them, never call them, never check in on them, right? Listen, I've done that before. There's been times in my life of the 20 years that I've been saved or plus that I've been saved that I have said, hey, I would keep you accountable, and then I just totally forgot. It was innocent, but it was wrong. Church, if we are going to walk in accountability, it requires discipline. It requires vulnerability. But I want to also share this. It's very important that you are keeping, that you're not keeping somebody accountable that has the exact same struggle at the exact same time that you're walking through it. What I mean by that is that if you're both struggling with the same thing, then both of you may struggle, and then you both just let each other off because, oh, it's tough. What we must say is, hey, I'm going to find somebody who's either walked through this before or somebody who is growing in their walk with Christ to keep me accountable in the situation or the circumstance that I'm dealing with. But then we also must say that not to keep, it's very important that you're not to keep somebody accountable of the opposite sex. It's extremely dangerous for the obvious reasons. The next thing that we see about the man in Proverbs is that he is to be truthful, or that he has integrity, which is also E and or F, and then also G is integrity. 19:1 says this. It says, better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. Integrity means purity and state of innocence. Do you truly say what you mean, and mean what you say? Do you truly say what you mean and mean what you say? Many of y'all know that the scripture in Matthew 5, verse 37, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this is evil. If you have to swear or promise, then that means that your word doesn't have enough weight to it. Because there's been times that you have spoken things that are not true. Have you ever noticed that kids do this all the time? I promise, Daddy, I promise. Or they'll say, I swear. Or they'll do this, they'll pinky swear with each other. Have you ever seen that before? I saw my kids just this past week. They were jumping into a pool that was really cold, and I saw them do this right beforehand, saying, hey, if I jump in, you're jumping in, right? I want to make sure that you mean that. And they both jumped in, which I thought was crazy. But why do we have to promise? The reasoning is because we have not let our words be yes and yes and no, no. There's been times that we have spoken things that weren't truthful. Church, I'm here to tell you one of the greatest ways that we do this as a father is when we share a, and I hate to use the word threat, but I'm just going to say that. When we threaten our kids with discipline and then we don't follow through with it. But the reason that we don't follow through with it oftentimes is because we go way overboard. We're frustrated in the moment. So we say, if you do that again, you're going to be grounded for a month. And you don't mean that. And then they do it again, then you're stuck. Do I ground them for a month? Or do I just let it slide? And then we're like, oh, don't act like you didn't see that. Act like you didn't hear it. Church, we must recognize that our words must be truthful. Men, not only are we to be truthful and be of integrity, but we also are called to persevere. Persevere. I love this verse. It says this in Proverbs 24:16. A righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in a time of calamity. A wise man recognizes that this is a marathon, not a sprint. He recognizes that he is a work under construction. He recognizes, as I said at the beginning, that perfection is the standard, but growth is the goal. Church, we must recognize that we're all a work under construction. Proverbs speaks to this, that the righteous fall seven times, but they get back up. But not the foolish. But not only in the perseverance of this sanctification growth process, but the man also must deal biblically when he stumbles. We will all fall, but how do you deal with it? Do you continue in the sin? Do you try to justify and blame others? Or do you humble yourself and repent before holy God? Do you humble yourself and seek God for forgiveness? Do you offer forgiveness, as we mentioned earlier, to those who we have offended? The last thing that I want us to see about the man is this. And listen, we could have gone through the whole alphabet, right? We're now at I. But we could have gone through the whole alphabet. I was just letting the Lord lead me in the ones that I was going to share with you here. And that is this. A godly father, a man, leaves an inheritance. But I want you to see, it says leaves a spiritual inheritance. It says this in Proverbs 13:22. In the passage, it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of sinners is stored up for the righteous. You may say, well, David, that scripture is talking specifically about wealth. And I do agree with you that this is talking about wealth, but let me tell you something, that there is a greater inheritance than wealth. And that is a spiritual legacy. When you live a life of forgiveness, when you live a life of surrender to the Lordship of Christ and that wisdom, when you live a life of dependency upon Christ, when you live a life that you are foundation is on Christ, when you live a life that preserves in Christ, when you are truthful, when you're accountable, you're showing your children a legacy for them to live. Dad, the spiritual inheritance is way more valuable than the silver and gold. Remember what it said in Proverbs 3, 13 through 15? The profit is better. Wisdom's profit is better than silver, and wisdom's gain is better than fine gold. Gold, she is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares to her. What are you leaving for your children and your grandchildren? Some of us focus in on the financial side of things, but God is speaking also of a spiritual legacy. You know, as I was sitting here and I was dwelling on this, I couldn't help but go to Brother Fred. I was just sitting here thinking about how many men were called out to the ministry through Brother Fred's time as pastor. None of those men received, that I know of, a monetary inheritance when he passed. But all of them received a spiritual inheritance in his passing. I can't tell you how many things he taught me in the 10 years I got to spend with him. I'll give you one for an example. I shared with you that a godly man needs to be a man of integrity, a man that is trustworthy or truthful. I told Brother Fred one day, I said, listen, he asked me, he said, David, you're associate pastor. I want you to lead in this area, in this area, in this area. And he said, listen, I know that I'm the senior pastor, but I want you to lead in these areas. And I said, Brother Fred, I don't feel comfortable, because if I don't talk to you about everything that we're going to do, how do I know that I'm not doing something that you would want it to be done differently? And this is what he said to me. He said, David, there's going to be times that you do things that I would have done differently. But I know your heart. And I know that you would never do that intentionally. What a legacy. It freed me up to serve. It freed me up to run. Think about in marriage, when a husband and when a wife are truthful with each other and they say to each other the same thing that Brother Fred said in my life. Hey, listen, I know your heart, and I know that when you do something against me, it was not your intention. It frees them up to run. It frees them up to serve. Fathers, what type of legacy are we leaving our children? You know, I'm looking at the time, and I'm just about to start the woman. I guess we'll do that next week. But let me just share this. Are we leaving a legacy, men, of those who dive into this word and recognize that it's truly the foundation of our life? Do we leave a legacy that when we don't know which way to go, we fall on our knees and cry out to God? Do we live a legacy that's saying, a spiritual inheritance that says that at the end of the day, no matter what takes place, God is in control and my security is in him? What type of legacy, what type of spiritual inheritance do we leave for our children and our grandchildren? I wasn't going to do this, but we've got time today, because if I go into the next one, we'll be like, you'll wish that you had that hour back. And so I'm going to just stop it here. Brother Fred always told me that you can always stop your message, David, and you can pick up next week, because I used to go for a long time. And he all, see, there's that spiritual legacy that he gave me. Last week we prayed. We prayed for the families. This week we're going to pray for the men in this room. Can I tell you that one of the biggest struggles that we have in America is men not stepping up to the role that God designed them to be? And that's everything that we just walked through. I told you I love the book of Proverbs because it's so practical. Would you put those points back up, A through I? And like I said, what's that thing called? The alphabet. Man, we're called to be wise. And that's seeking Christ as our foundation. We're called to see that our strength is in the Lord. We're called to be dependent upon God. We're called to walk in forgiveness and accountability. We're called to be truthful. We're called to be men of integrity. We're called to persevere because greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. And when we do that, we leave a legacy. We leave a spiritual inheritance.